and to serve God.
Amen.
And to be together as a family. I mean, this is awesome. This is our real family right here. We're going to be with each other throughout eternity. Aren't you glad for that? Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to start a new series today. Hallelujah. And if you have your Bibles, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, Jesus Christ, I thank you today, Lord, for the honor and the privilege to speak your word this morning. I am asking you, Father, specifically that you speak through my, think through my mind, speak through my lips, and that I might decrease, that you might increase. I pray, Father, that you be magnified, you be glorified, and you be lifted high above all else today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that? In Timothy, Paul was writing this particular letter to Timothy, who was a pastor. We know that Timothy was one to the Lord through the Apostle Paul's ministry. And in Paul referred to him as his son in the faith. Amen. And so Timothy was a young pastor and had tons of challenges and things like that, you know. But praise God for spiritual fathers. Amen. And Paul said some things here that are just powerful here. Because you'll see in 1 Timothy, for example, how many of you know there's two letters to Timothy? There's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And 1 Timothy, you know, Timothy being a young pastor, he had all these questions about pastoring and about how to treat people and all this kind of stuff, you know, and about elders and leaders and all, how do elders L and leaders lead and all this kind of stuff, you know. And Paul writes back, and the church is growing, the church is prospering, it's a new church, it's a new upstart, okay, and revival's taking place. But all of a sudden, you come over to 2 Timothy, and it's like the bottom of the barrel just fell out. Because he's trying to encourage Timothy and stir him up and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's like, what's the big deal between 1 and 2 Timothy? Well, in 1 Timothy, the church is growing, it's prospering, things are happening. But by the time 2 Timothy comes around prior to that, there is an evil, wicked ruler. Sometimes we think we have wicked, evil rulers. But let me tell you something. These are wicked, demon-possessed leaders. One by the name of Nero. Okay, there was other leaders, but he was one of the most wicked leaders of this time and when Paul and Timothy was pastor here in Ephesus. And Nero, for example, invented the sliding board. I heard Rick Renner talking about this. Except that sliding board had a big knife that would fillet people and then he'd send them down there and fillet them in half. Christians. He would boil them in oil. Okay? He would probably make ISIS look like kindergarten. You know what I'm saying? And this stuff was going on, and Christians were being persecuted and so forth and so on. And all of a sudden, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy, and we won't go there right now, but he says, you know, I remember your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And he says, I'm persuaded that the same spirit that was in them is now on the inside of you. And then he said in verse 7, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind. Because what happened was in 2 Timothy, the church started defecting. People, because of pressure, because of outward pressure and persecution, there's people were saying, I'm out of here. Okay? But Paul addressed Timothy, the leader. He said, look, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so you'll find in 2 Timothy, he's stirring up the believers. And he's saying the same thing to you and me today, that listen, no matter what is going on in this world, God has not given you and me the spirit of fear.
Amen.
You know what? Satan's only weapon that he has is fear. That's the only weapon. And if you resist fear, he has no place in you. No place. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath what? No place in me. Why? Because Jesus didn't yield to the spirit of fear. Now, if God has not given us the spirit of fear, where did fear come from? Come from the devil, right?
Yeah.
So we're not to yield to that spirit of fear. We can resist it in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you what, it will run, tuck its tail between its legs and run out like a scared dog. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, in the faith. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to say out loud, be strong in the grace. This is exactly what we're going to talk about, God's mighty grace. God put a message in my heart about the power of grace in the day and the hour that we live. It was said of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, the 3rd and 4th chapter, that great grace was upon the early church. And where there's much pressure, there's much grace.
Amen.
But notice he says in verse 1, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. The things that you have heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So notice he said, commit these things to faithful people, people that show up. Amen. You showed up today. Amen. And he says, we're to commit these things to faithful people who are able to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him as to be a soldier. Verse 5, and if any man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. A husband that laboreth must first be a partaker of the fruits. Now, Josh, if you could bring up the Message translation of this. This is a little more modern rendition of this particular verse right here. And I think it just kind of bears it out a little bit more plain, okay? And it says this, so, my son, throw yourself into the work for Christ. Pass on what you've heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
To reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. When the going gets tough, take it on the chin with the rest of us, the way Jesus did. A soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out the orders. An athlete who refuses to play by the rules will never get anywhere. It's the diligent farmer who gets the produce. Think it over, God will make it plain. Amen. I kind of like that translation. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Have you heard the saying before that when the times get tough? Yeah, you said it right there. I've heard it said like this, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And God wants us to be tender-hearted but tough. Amen? Everybody go, rawr. Okay, there's a lion on the inside of you, you know, and sometimes, you know, you just have to, you can't let pressure, intimidation, the enemy intimidate us. Amen? That's why it's good to laugh in the devil's face. That was scriptural. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the 8th chapter, that God sits on his throne. Think about God sitting on his throne. And the Bible says he laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Can you see God laughing? Now, I never pictured God like that growing up because I thought he was stiff, man. I mean, he was ready to crack down on you if you missed it, you know. But think about it. This is a clear picture. God sits on his throne and he laughs. Why? Because he sees the day of the enemy. He sees his derision. Okay? He knows the outcome. And when you know the devil's outcome, you can laugh in his face. When he tries to slap something on you, sickness, disease, or something, some kind of problem, you know, you can turn. Now, you got to do it by faith sometimes. You can go, ha, ha, ha. Can you laugh? Listen, you don't have to watch the Three Stooges to laugh. You don't have to watch some comedy thing to laugh. That's fine. But listen, you can laugh your way into victory. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the scripture says. So he told him, Timothy, he says, he told him to be strong in the grace of God. And he said, be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace. Now, sometimes religious words can throw us. When we talk about, we just assume, and I mean for years I did too, that we understand, that most people understand religious terms like redemption, you know, things like that. Grace. And they're religious, we know the religious terms, but what do they really mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Well, Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace. A lot of people just scratch their heads and say, how do I do that? What is grace and how do I do that? That's what we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this, because when we tap in, God showed me some things this past week when I was in prayer meditating on this. And I'm telling you, I was having a personal revival. I'm telling you, I'm not the same person I was. I'm not the same Keith that I was. I'm not the same pastor that I was. Glory be to God. Because when God reveals himself to you, you're coming up like a hot air balloon. You're coming up. Hallelujah. And when the hot air balloon, you know what controls the hot air balloon? The wind, the direction. There's no way to control which direction that thing goes. The wind controls that hot air balloon. All right? I'm making a point here. The fire of the Holy Ghost will lift us up, but the wind of the Spirit will take us where we need to go.
Amen.
Amen. That's not flaky and weird. That's just, he's going to take you into green pastures. He's going to take you into some places you never dreamed possible. Amen? And victory. I can tell by the looks on some of your faces, you need victory. Amen? Listen, we're not in jury duty. Okay? All right? I was called in for jury duty about a month ago. And it was going to be a 2.5, but they said about 2 to 3 months case. And I thought, Jesus, please deliver me. He did. He did. But I'm an observer, and I look around, and I'm looking around, you know, and a couple hours have passed, and we're waiting for numbers to call. And I mean, you got to, everything's in line. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't see one person smiling. No one was laughing. Everybody looked depressed. And I thought, this is not the way church is supposed to look. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So tough times don't laugh, but tough people will. And our job is to get us to get tough in the Spirit, praise God. Tenacity, tenacious in the Spirit. We're not going to give up. Sometimes the least bit of resistance sometimes with believers, they back off. They quit serving God, quit their giving. You know what I mean? Quit coming to church. Because just a little bit of resistance. And you go pull the shades down, go eat chocolate cake, and sit in your bedroom to see if it's going to go away. It doesn't go away. All right? Listen. Grace is a powerful word. Go to Ephesians. And I want to show you something here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of these to show you. Not do an exhaustive reading of this morning, but I want to show you something here. In Paul's, now Paul wrote about 3/4 of the New Testament. Think about that. He was a terrorist before he was born again. Remember that? He was a literal terrorist. He would go into Christians' homes and pull them out. He's the one that organized Stephen's death. Remember that, while he held their coats? He was a terrorist, and he was thought he was doing God service. Okay? But the Bible says on the road to Damascus, because you know who prayed for him? When Stephen was being stoned by Paul and his company there, Stephen got on his knees and he looked up and he saw the glory of God. And he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now think about that. He's being stoned by Paul and his company. And he says the same thing that Jesus said on the cross. He releases forgiveness. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, you can't do that in the natural. I mean, it's one thing if somebody throws a few words at you and, you know, lies about you and says some things about you. But it's a whole entire different thing when someone starts picking up big stones and say, you're going out today. Are you with me? Well, evidently, God heard Stephen's prayer, because shortly after that, Paul is on the road to Damascus to go persecute. He had letters from the governor's hand. I'm going to go persecute the church. Remember that? And on the road to Damascus, he had a shining light experience. Jesus Christ appeared to him. And he said this. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He got saved just like that. He said, Lord, what would you have me do? He had such an encounter with God that it knocked the S off his front name, gave him a P. From Saul to Paul. Well, you know what? Jesus Christ never brought up his past again. He was a murderer. Okay? Murdered several, not just Stephen, other people as well. But see, God was honoring Stephen's prayer. He went after his enemy. He went after him. Praise the Lord. He had an encounter with Jesus. And now here we are years later, and Paul writes 3/4 of the New Testament. Think about that. Now, what's interesting about the Apostle Paul's ministry and his letters that you and I have in our laps right here is that every single one of his letters to the church at Rome, at Corinth, at Thessalonica, all these different letters that he wrote, he starts out by talking about grace, and then you go to the very last chapter, and he finishes talking about grace. Now, why is that? Now, a religious casual reader will look at that and say, well, you know, it's just a religious phrase like, God bless you, good to see you. You know, is that trying to fill up space in his letters to make it longer? I don't think so. Now, I want you to see something right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Now, you are either a saint or an ain't. Amen? Now, some of y'all, you know, depending on your religious upbringing, you know, used to pray to the saints. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, you could really pull something over on someone. They say that, I'm praying to my saint. You say, well, then you got to pray to me. Because the Bible says you are a saint. In Christ Jesus, you are a saint. Amen? Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? You are a saint. Someone looks at someone and says, man, they've done all these things. They must be a saint. No, the way you get a saint is not by what you do. It's by what you were born. You don't become a saint by the things that you do. You become a saint. Because I've heard people say that even to me. Oh, you're such a saint. Because I did something nice for them. No. No. I'm not a saint because of something that I did. I'm a saint because I was born that way when I came to Christ. Amen. The Bible says that we're kings and we're priests unto our God. Hallelujah. Put that in your pocket and go home with it. Thank you, Lord. You're not just some measly old Christian barely making it through life. You know, you are a saint. You are an overcomer. You are a king. You are a priest. So notice it says right here, to the Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you notice in verse 2, that's this chapter 1, verse 2, what's he say? Grace to you. Now, I don't know about you, but for years I overlooked that. I was like, let's just get on to the rest of the chapter here. That's just like an introduction. Like, hello, how are you doing? And then get into the meat of it, you know? That's not what it means. Because if you go to Ephesians 6, that's the last chapter. There are six chapters in Ephesians. The 24th verse. Thank you, Lord. It says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with insincerity. Amen. Now go to Romans real quick. And this will all, of course, be up on the screen. But Romans chapter 1, verse 7. I'm not going to go through all of these. I just want to give you a few of them just so you understand where I'm coming from here. But in Romans 1, 7, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Notice this. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16 of Romans 24, the last chapter. Grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So you got first chapter, last chapter. Now go to 1 Corinthians. We'll conclude with this right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And it says this, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last chapter, that's 16. That's 1 Corinthians 16, starting at verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we can see here in Corinthians in the first chapter and then in the last chapter, Paul again, it says, grace to you. Grace to you. They're like two bookends. Okay? Grace here, and then life between that. Okay, and the Bible talks about, we might see this today if we have a chance, but the Bible says that we go from grace to grace. Okay, now again, for many years, this was just a religious word that, you know, I didn't really totally, I understood a little bit about it, but it didn't really make any sense to me. It didn't minister to me until I did some research, until I heard some teaching along the lines of, the grace of God and the power of the grace of God. Let me give you an example. Have you ever had a difficult time accomplishing something in your life? Okay. Did you ever have a hard time trying to figure out something in your life? Okay. What you need is more grace.
Amen.
Okay? Now, my definition of grace is what we said over the supper table. Would you say grace? So I bow my head and say, grace. No, say the prayer. You know, that was my definition of grace. Okay? But trust me, you can do the research, but as you go into the rest of Paul's letters, you're going to find that every single one, with the exception of Titus, I think it is, one of the pastoral epistles, where I think it was Titus, where he said, grace, mercy, and peace. Because pastors need more mercy. Okay? He said, grace, most of the time it's just grace and peace, but he said, grace, mercy, and peace. That's the only time he changes it up. Okay? So Pastor Keith needs some grace once in a while. Amen? Can you have mercy towards me?
Yes.
Amen. Then I'll have mercy towards you. Amen. Praise God. Mercy means he gives us what we didn't deserve. Amen. But here's the classic definition of grace, and that is this. Two words, unmerited favor. How many of you ever heard that before?
Yes.
Now that's not incorrect. It's just incomplete. It's not incorrect. It's just incomplete. Now, here's a better definition. Does everybody know what an acronym is? Okay.
Yes.
Grace. Let's take, for example, the word grace. G-R-A-C-E. Each one of those words will stand for something. And here's what I found is this. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Or I could say it like this. Grace comes under the umbrella that everything Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Amen? Well, what did he do for us? He got us salvation. Okay? Healing. We saw that this morning. Amen? This is all part of the package. Man, when you got saved, you didn't just get delivered from your sins. Amen? Dear God, the word salvation. Sozo. Not bozo. Sozo. That's the Greek word. And it implies deliverance from sin, from sickness, from disease, from oppression. And when the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, we've always said, well, that's your sins. Well, yeah, that's true. But that's only a piece of the pie. Hallelujah. See, when you got saved, you got saved. Amen. See, Psalm 103 says it like this. I say this on a daily basis over and over. And the more I say it, the more I get excited about it. Because it says, bless the Lord. Verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that's within me, bless His holy name. Amen? Get excited about it. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Enthusiastic. The more enthusiastic you get about it, the more faith grows up. Amen? And the less you're enthused about the Word, the less it's going to work for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, if I came in here today and I was passing out $100 bills, just an example, okay? And I was passing out $100 bills, and I said this. Now, you don't see them, but they're up here, okay? And I said, this is my will for you. I'm going to give every one of you in this auditorium here, if you sit through the service, and then you come up after it's over, and I will give you a $100 bill, all right? Now, you haven't seen the $100 bill yet. You're just going by what I've said. Amen? And all of a sudden, you're in your seat, and man, you might have been falling off to sleep, and all of a sudden, you're like perking up. You're like, man, I can take my wife out to a good lunch today. You know what I'm saying? But you haven't even seen the $100 bill yet. All you have is my word. But yet, you're getting excited. You're like, That's really nice of him. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use this as an example right here. Now, all you have is my word on the subject. You haven't seen the Ben Franklin yet. Okay? You haven't seen it yet. But you're taking my word and you believe the integrity of my word that if I say it, I'm going to do it. So when do you get excited? When you get the $100 bill? No. When you just found out about it. Hallelujah. Now, when we hear God speak to us through His Word, how we treat that Word will determine how fast we will receive from Him. Now, there could be people in the auditorium that say, I don't believe that. That's just a farce. You know, that's just a gimmick. You know, and yet they've heard what I've said. I'm going to give you a $100 bill if you come up here today. And then the service dismisses. They walk out the door. Well, everybody that comes up front gets a $100 bill except that person. Okay? Was it my will that they have it? Mm-hmm. Of course it was. But they had to come up and possess it. Mm-hmm. Are you with me now? Yes. And so God's word is full of His grace. He said, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've given it to you. It's yours. Mm-hmm. You just have to take it. How do you take it? You say it. Mm-hmm. You take it. You say it. Do you know, it's interesting because when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, the sages tell us, the Hebrew sages said that when God made man, he was different because it says that God was made and God made us in His likeness and in His what? In His image. So there's no other creatures on the earth, no other part of the animal kingdom that was like God. The giraffes, the lions, the tigers, the bears, they're not like God. Now, they're God's creatures, but they're not created in His likeness and His image. Amen? Amen. When was the last time you talked to your dog and your dog talked back to you? No. Okay. I talk to my dog all the time. I like that dog. Now, the cat's another story, but no, I'm just kidding. Pastor, did you have to say that again? I don't know. Okay. They said this, that when man created, this is out of the Hebrew, they said man was created, he was made a speaking spirit. Amen. Think about that. When God created humans like you and I, made in His likeness and His image, He made you and I a speaking spirit. That's why we're able to communicate with one another. We're intelligent beings. God created us that way. There's no invention on this earth. Somebody invented these speakers originally. Somebody discovered electricity. Somebody invented these chairs, the carpet, the walls, everything that's in here. But you know what? Not one of those things came from a giraffe or a zebra or a lion. Why? They don't have creative ability in them. They're driven by instinct and instinct only. I know some people are, you know, a bit, you know. But let me tell you something. All the major inventions in this world today came by human beings because we're made in God's likeness. We're made in God's image. We have creative ability on the inside of us. Amen. Think about that. Amen. You ought to look in the mirror and say, wow, God made me something. Amen. It's what God made us. God made you creative. Okay? So, my point being is this, that when God created man, Adam, He made him a speaking spirit to communicate with God. Hallelujah. But see, the ability to talk is not the be-all and end-all. That's part of it. But the ability to use words to control your atmosphere around you. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus upheld all things by the word of His power. He created all things by the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. Everything that we see in this creation was spoken into existence. Why did God choose words? I don't know. That's what He chose. He could have thought it. He could have thought, let there be fish, and there would have been fish. He could have snapped His fingers. He could have blinked. But no, God said, right? Go to Genesis. Not literally, but, you know, go back to Genesis. You'll find out, what did God do? God said, God said, God said, and it was so. God said, God said, and it was so, and it was very good. All right? Now, because you and I are made in God's likeness and God's image, we're able to speak things. Now, that's another subject. We're able to speak life. The scripture tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Okay? So we're either speaking life words or death words. When people say, you know, that kid's not going to amount to anything. That son or that daughter, they're just an accident going somewhere to happen. Ha, ha, ha. No, that's not a joke. Okay? We have to be able to harness our words and use our words to create things around us. Amen? Now, of course, we're not going to go create another world like God did. That's not even necessary. You can't create another world, but you can control the world that you live in.
That's right.
Amen? And Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Benefits. What are those benefits? Number one, He forgives all of your sins. Did you know you're forgiven today?
Amen.
Oh, I sure don't feel like it, brother. I blew it last week, man. God has forgiven you.
Amen.
You are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
He forgives all of your iniquities, and He heals all of your diseases. Now, if He just stopped there, that would be good. But He moves on and He says, and He redeems your life from destruction.
Amen.
The devil meant to destroy you. He couldn't do it. He won't do it. Amen?
Amen?
And He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. You can even say, you can reverse the aging process. You can. I remember one time, this has been a number of years ago, and I think I was about 35 years old, actually, at the time. I'm 55 now, so, you know. I ran into a guy that I graduated with. In fact, I led him to the Lord when I was a teenager. Well, I hadn't seen him for years. And I was in Panera Bread, and I was grabbing something in there, and I ran into this kid, and his name was Pat, you know. And he was a body man. He worked on cars and stuff like that, you know. And I'm saying, we're about 35, 36 years old at the time. We're the same age, you know. And so we're kind of catching up. You know, it's been years since high school since I ran into him, you know, a number of years. All right. Well, we're talking, and he says, I said, well, how you doing? And he goes, well, you know how it is when we get our age. things start falling apart. And I almost batted my eyes. I thought, wait a minute, we're 35 years old. You're talking like you're 85 years old or 90 years old. But even then, it was said of Moses in the Bible that his natural forces abated not, neither his eye dimmed.
Praise God.
At 100 and some years old.
That's right.
He didn't even need eyeglasses.
Nope.
Amen. The scripture says that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, he says, first of all, satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I could say it like this. I could say, my youth is being renewed like the eagles. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not wearing out. I'm not rusting out. Praise God. But see, that's not the way the world system goes. People joke about old age and stuff like that. I'm having a senior moment. Well, that should be smarter. Now, these are the kind of people that hide their own Easter eggs. You know what I'm saying? Where did I put that? Listen, your mind doesn't have to go. Your heart doesn't have to go. Your hearing doesn't have to go. Say what? No, your hearing doesn't have to go. It doesn't have to go. We don't want to buy the lie of the enemy and say, yeah, my eyes are going, my ears are going, my hair's falling out and everything else, you know, and I'm just falling apart, you know. But see, that's popular talk among the world. But you could say, that's not me. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. I'll tell you, in a lot of respects, I feel better now than I did when I was 16.
Good. Praise God.
Amen. Because I've learned one thing, and it took a while to grab a hold of this, but you got to let this tongue, it's the rudder. Brother Dan talked about this morning, the book of James, you know. And I just heard a really funny story. You want to hear a funny story? And I heard this story about Dr. Paul Youngie Cho. You know, he's got over 1 million people in his church.
Yes.
largest church in the world, in Seoul, Korea. Okay? And he's just a humble, you know, South Korean man, you know. I think it's South Korea. Which one's the bad country? North Korea? North, yeah. He's from South Korea. And, you know, I mean, just look at that leader over there. Dear God. He needs a serious hairdo change. That Kim Jong, whatever his name is, you know what I mean? Would you want to have a hair like that? Dear God. No wonder he's flipping out. He's freaking out. He looks in the mirror and says, I can't handle this, you know. He's only about that big too, you know. Anyway, what was my point? Anyway, there was a neurosurgeon, a big-time doctor that came across Dr. Cho's path, you know, and he said, Dr. Cho, we found some scientific studies, and we've discovered this. We've did studies on this, that there's a link between the speech center in the brain and what happens in your physical body. He said, we've discovered this. There's a link between your speech center and your brain compared to how it controls the rest of the body. And he goes, I've known that. He said, well, how did you know that? This is a recent study. I've known this. He says, from who? From Dr. James. Dr. who? Dr. James. In the New Testament. You know, tongue, little member. Boast us great things. You know what I mean? Praise God. Well, years later, it comes out, you know. And, tongue. You know what I mean? Wonton soup, you know what I mean? And that's China. Okay. All right. But see, medical science is just catching up with the Bible. They're behind anyway, but they've discovered that the part of the brain, the speech part of, that controls the speech in your brain, literally controls, it has dominance over every nerve cell in your body. No wonder James said, the tongue is a little member. Amen? But the tongue controls the whole body. He said it's like the bit in the horse's mouth. He said that little bit compared to the horse. I used to ride horses when I grew up. And that little bit, I mean, you can hold it in one hand. It's so light. But that bit controls which direction that horse is going to go. And he said, so is the tongue. He said, it's a small member, but it will control the body, the rest of the body. And so when you say, you lay hands on yourself, and you say, and you prophesy, and you speak to yourself, listen, don't do it timidly. Don't do it sheepishly. Don't do it haphazardly. You lay your hands on yourself, say, health! You come to my body today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Sickness, be gone in Jesus' name. Mind, be whole in Jesus' name. I wanted to say the right thing. And, you know, your mind's going to say, how can I just talk into myself? How's that going to do anything? Listen, words control the universe. You got saved by words. You said Jesus. However you did, Jesus, come into my heart. Those words change your ultimate destiny. Amen.
Right.
And I'll submit this to you. If the words of your mouth change your eternal destiny, that's the ultimate. From heaven to hell. From hell to heaven.
That's right.
Dyslexic here. You said, Jesus, and you were bound for hell. I was 16 years old when that happened to me. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Savior. All right, in the month of May, 1976, bicentennial year, at Jamonville, behind the 200-year-old chapel, I said, Jesus, come into my life, save me. All of a sudden, I went from darkness to light.
Amen.
That's the biggest miracle that there is,
right.
From darkness to light.
Right.
And the Lord spoke this to me a few years back. He said, if the words of your mouth changed your eternal destiny, He said, how much more will the words of your mouth change the everyday affairs of your life? See, you've already spoken your salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You spoke your way out of hell.
Glory to God.
You spoke your way out of health.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
I said, you spoke your way out of hell. Okay? Now, how are you going to speak your way out of the hellish things that are coming against you? Right here. I get up in the morning and I put my spiritual clothes on.
Amen.
Praise God. None of you, in your right mind, you wouldn't think twice about leaving the house without getting dressed. Okay? You put your clothes on, right? That's a normal procedure. Amen? Well, don't leave the house spiritually undressed. It only takes a few minutes.
That's right.
You can start taking one, two. And listen, I just want to encourage you. You know, keep things very simple in your life. The devil's in charge of complication. You don't have to complicate things. I'm telling you, all it took was one scripture to get you saved. And the devils couldn't hold that back. They couldn't stop that. What makes you think they're going to stop anything else in your life? And I wake up in the morning, I say, I'm blessed today. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's me. We're all Gentiles. And then 29 says, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. What's the curse of the law? If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, you're going to find it's threefold. It lists all the curse of breaking God's law: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death or eternal damnation. Jesus Christ has redeemed you and me from the curse of the law and redeemed us unto the blessing.
Amen.
So it's a great thing when you can drive down this road and just say, thank you, Father, today that I am the redeemed of the Lord. I say so. That's what the Bible says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. It didn't say let the redeemed of the Lord shut up and close their mouth. It says let the redeemed of the Lord say, decree. I decree and I declare I'm the righteousness of God in Christ according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made that. I didn't do that. He did that for me. I receive it.
Amen.
I'm a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 8:17, Jesus himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. Praise the Lord. And you take that and you're applying it to your life. You're wearing it. God's word looks good on you.
Amen.
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 Amen. How many of you ever bought something before and you look in the mirror and say, amen. I'm going to probably get in trouble for saying this, but sometimes Lynn will say, honey, do I look fat in this? No. 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 I'm just playing with you, man. You all understand where I'm coming from. But see, everybody's different, you know, and there's certain colors that look better on you that may not look on someone else, you know. There's different styles. Praise God.
But, I don't like that shirt.
Okay. I've heard that before. I'm going to wear it every week now. So. All right, brother? Every week. Yeah. Chris is my witness. I'm going to wear it every week now. That's right, yeah. She's seen it too many times, that's all. But wouldn't you all agree, though, that there's certain things that just look good and you're like, I like that, you know? Well, there's one thing I can say that looks really good on you, the Word of God.
Amen.
And you put that Word on you. That's why it says put on the whole armor of God. So put on righteousness, put on faith, put on those things. Don't get caught up in the pieces, like the breastplate of this. But the breastplate of righteousness. So you could say, take off the word breastplate and just say, I'm going to put on righteousness. Okay? Make it simple. Put on faith. Put on love. Okay? And then you walk out the door like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Praise the Lord. And it's just a wonderful thing, isn't it? Time is here. Man, we're almost out of time here. So this word grace is an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. Quickly go to John chapter 1. And I'll conclude this morning. But in John chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, I only have two more scriptures I want to read here, and we'll close here. John, verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, that he cometh after me, is preferred before me. He was before me." Verse 16, "And of his fullness have we received grace for grace." There's the scripture I was referring to. Verse 17, now here's what I want you to look at. "For the law," that's the Ten Commandments and all the rest of "the law came by Moses, but notice this, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Well, of course, which covenant are we living under, the New Testament or the Old Testament? We're in the New Testament. The law, you know, the law couldn't save anybody. In fact, Galatians says that the law was our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. Amen? And the law produces death. Okay? Now, what the Jews did is they grabbed the law and they said, "We got it." But they didn't have it. That was the sign. Now, you can go, because I grew up in this area originally, but if you go to Baldwin-Whitehall and you go out from Brownsville Road to Route 51, there's a sign there. If you're going south, it says Uniontown, 50 miles. Okay? Use your imagination now. That sign is just a sign that points to the direction you're going. Now, what if I jumped out of my car and I ran over and I hugged the sign? I said, "I've arrived. I'm in Uniontown." Somebody would look at me and say, "You know, his elevator doesn't go to the top. He's a few bricks shy of load." Okay? And you would say that, "That's true. That's true." Because I'd be like, "I've arrived. I've got it." No, I just have the sign that points to the place that I want to go. Now, the law didn't save anybody. All it did was tell us that we're sinners, which tells us we need a Savior. Okay? So the law was our schoolmaster that brought us to the place, "I can't save myself." See, that's the thing, is that mankind, humanity, has a disease called sin that can never be healed. You can't heal yourself. The world is contaminated from Adam's sin, from Adam. That's why we're all sinners. We're come into this world sinners, okay? Well, the only remedy for that is accepting Jesus. So the law came, and that killed us. But then grace and truth came from Jesus Christ, and that set us free.
Amen.
Okay? So grace is not a thing. It's a person. Amen? It's Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so thankful that when I started thinking about this and meditating, I see you're a grace gift to me. To our family, all of you in this church. I look at my wife. It'll be Friday. It'll be 34 years we've been married. Same woman. Amen. She's a grace gift to me. Amen. And I see her as I look at Joshua and Kelly, my son and my daughter. They're grace gifts to me. It's not just, "Oh, there's Josh and Kelly, you know. There's my kids. There's my wife, you know." I see them, and this will help you, folks. Listen to this. If you get anything, get this today. If you see people as a grace gift, you'll treat them like that. You won't treat them like a piece of trash. You know what I mean? You know, people joke around and say, "That's my old lady," or "That's my old man." We shouldn't talk like that.
That's right.
Amen? But, you know, the world teases about that, don't they? Okay? But no, you're a grace gift to each other, even in this congregation. See each other as valuable and precious. Praise God. Now, Pastor, I know sometimes you seem to preach too long sometimes. But let me tell you something. You go to a seminar and you spend 3 days for work and they stick you in a hotel somewhere for a continuing education for things. You know, this really means a lot here. Okay? That other stuff. This matters.
That's right.
You can handle a couple of minutes, can't you? Amen. You're going to turn into a pumpkin at 12 noon. Okay, so here's the last scripture, Ephesians. Turn over there and we will conclude here. But Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm telling you, being exposed to those ministries that we were exposed to last week, I'm telling you, I'm not the same Keith. I'm a different person, amen? And it's not hype, it's not just psychological, it's spiritual. Iron sharpens iron. Praise God. And we should all of us in this congregation, folks, listen, we should be coming up higher. We should, I'm telling you, after the service, you guys should be encouraging one another, praying. If somebody needs prayer, you pray. It shouldn't be just all Pastor Keith praying for people. I'm okay with that. But, you know, we're a body. We can work as a body, praise the Lord, pull together. There's a grace that's here with each one of you here. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, notice this, through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're created in righteousness for good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay. Now, I wanted to conclude with this today because we're going to get into the meat of this next week about tapping into the grace of God. The grace of God is everything that God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, He did everything for us. Okay? So everything falls under the category of grace that Jesus Christ did for us. Our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, our provision. I mean, everything you can think of in this life falls under that category of grace. Well, if it's given to you by grace, then why ain't I receiving it, Pastor Keith? Because for by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
Okay. Everybody came into this room today, right? Not a trick question. You came through the door. No one came through the roof. I didn't see anybody come through the window. Amen. Those two doors back there. You came into the grace by the doorway. And the way that you come into God's fullness of grace is by faith. By faith. So you are saved by grace, but it's through faith. Did you know that right now, legally speaking, every human being on this earth is born again in God's, technically, not vitally. Okay? Did Jesus die for half the sins of the world?
No.
He died for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved half the world? No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Does that mean that everybody's saved?
No.
What's the difference? Well, when someone is presented with the gospel of grace, they have to believe that and act upon that. And come to the place where say, yes. Now, I've witnessed the people through the years, and there are some people that just weren't ready. So, brother, I'm not ready for that yet. That's okay. That's all right. There'll come a time you'll be ready. You always surround them with faith anyway, even if they're not ready to pray right then and there and close the deal. You know? Just treat it like they're going to do it. Amen? It's wonderful to see people get saved, isn't it?
Amen.
It's marvelous. It's marvelous. But faith is simply acting on what you believe. That's all it is. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Amen? It's just saying, I believe that. I'm going to act on that right now. I'm going to act on that. I'm going to do something about that. And well, when it came to your salvation, you got saved like that. Amen? Now, I want to close with prayer right now, okay? Hallelujah. So just bow your head for a moment. Thank you, Lord. 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 When we know and understand even a little about the grace of God, it takes the struggle out of trying to get something because we realize all of a sudden it dawns on us, my Lord, God already took care of that for me. It's like a prepaid card. Amen. All you got to do is go use it. Amen. Well, everything that you need right now, I know there's probably many different needs that are in this auditorium right now, in this building. There's physical needs, there's spiritual needs, social needs, financial needs. There's probably things like that. It's not a prophecy, it's just the facts. That you have needs in your life, all right? You have needs. And you're thinking, okay, how is this need going to be met in my life? What do I need to do? Okay, simple, with your eyes closed, your head bowed. It's just accepting the grace of God. He already did this for you. Okay? You might be in a pressing financial situation right now that you've got to have a turnaround. You've got to have a breakthrough. And you're thinking, you're wringing your hands. You're thinking, even in the service, you're thinking, dear God, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this? It's not what you can do. It's not going and getting five jobs. Work your finger to the bone, so to speak. It's accepting the grace of God. He already foresaw that before you were ever born. And He already saved up and He prepared for you to make provision for you. Now, when you understand that this comes under the category of grace, you don't have to work for this. Did you have to work for your salvation? Of course not. You received it. It was a gift. Everything else under the category of grace is a free gift. It belongs to you. You don't have to do anything to become prosperous. You don't have to do anything to become healthy. All you have to do is receive what Jesus already did for you. He did it all. He is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to lead everybody in a prayer this morning, a short little prayer here, but release faith as you pray, because as you say something, you're releasing it. You're signing the package for your life, all right? Now, just think for a minute. What is the need that you have? Okay, you know what that is. You don't have to say it out loud, all right? Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Now, say this after me. Say it out loud. Say, dear Lord,
the needs that I have,
you have already provided,
by and through
your mighty grace.
I release faith
in what Jesus Christ
has already done for me.
I receive my needs met.
I receive healing in my body.
I receive financial miracles.
I receive that friendship.
By grace,
through faith.
I receive it right now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Someone called it sweatless victory. You know what I mean? You ever work real hard and you're sweating like, man, give me a rag or something, you know? You're working real hard. Well, we don't do that here. There's no toil here. Jesus did the toil. He did the work. He sweat for us. Great drops of blood. He sweat. He was under such intense pressure. He sweat great drops, as it were, great drops of blood. He did that so you wouldn't have to. Amen? Now, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now, before we leave here, that the Lord will confirm His word with signs following.
Hallelujah.
With everybody in this room right
yes.
now.
Yes.
That your miracles and the things that you desire and the things
yes.
that you prayed about this morning right now came under the category of grace. You receive those right now. I prophesy that over the people right now, Father. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. Yeah, say, I take it.
It's mine.
I have it now. Glory be to God. Let's thank Him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 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 And I believe the Lord would say today that just be like a little child.
Yes.
Just take my word at face value, saith the Lord. Don't reason it out. Don't try to figure out with your mind and your understanding how this need is going to be met. Did not I say in my word to trust in me with all of your heart and don't lean unto your own understanding? But in all of your ways acknowledge me, saith the Lord, and I will direct your path. Do not get caught up in mind reasoning, thinking. No, put your thinking and understanding aside and just trust me with your whole heart. It's not your job, saith the Lord, to try to figure out how the need's going to be met. It's your job to simply trust me. And as you trust me and solely me, I will bring it to pass in ways you knew not of. I'll bring it to pass. And you'll look back and say, my Lord, you did that. I would have never dreamed in 1,000 years how you were going to do that. But know this, saith the Lord. I have more ways than you know of to meet your needs. So do not get caught up in reason. Do not get caught up in fear. And do not get caught up with the spirit of this world. But relax and believe me like a little child. Did not I say in my word that they that come before me must come as a little child? And a little child will simply believe. Just believes. He just believes. She just believes. And so it shall be. Hallelujah. And all will be well in this house. All will be well in your house. And there'll be lots of reason to worship and praise because you'll see the hand of the Lord bring it to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We receive that now, Father. Thank you, Father. One of the things about the Lord, you know, is that when He shows up, He's called the Prince of Peace. Amen. You know, and the Prince of Peace showed up here this morning. I'll be honest with you, I can see like a light mist right now, all in this room right now, and that's the glory of God. It's a very light mist, but I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. The glory and the presence of God is here. Okay? And, Hallelujah. Look not without, saith the Lord. Don't look for outward change first. But check your heart. Check your spirit. For even now, I'm already speaking to you in this service right now. I'm speaking to you. I'm dealing with you. I'm talking to you already. Don't look for some outward sign, some outward thing. But just check your heart. I'm already talking to you. I've already brought peace to you. You already have the answer. Hallelujah. You already have the answer, saith the Lord. Amen. So you walk out of here with your head high and confidence in your heart. I got what I came for here today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.